year, kind of scheduling out our calendar and picking a theme last Sunday. And if you weren't there, I'm sorry you missed it. We picked our theme. The theme for this year is The Soul Awakens. The Soul Awakens. And it's kind of loosely based on several scriptures, but one of them we talked about before is Romans 13, verses 11 and 12, which says, "The hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." And based on this verse, our theme is The Soul Awakens. And based on our theme, I titled the lesson today, The Soil. The Soil Awakens. Today, Jesus introduces his disciples to a little bit of a litmus test. He wants his followers to understand the secrets of the kingdom, as we talked about last week. And so, too, we must know the secrets of the kingdom. And in order to know how to live in the kingdom, under God's rule, Jesus introduces us. He introduces his disciples to this introspective test, this test that we can use to determine for ourselves the health of our hearts. When we are done today, I want us to be able to understand this parable that we're going to talk about. But more than that, I want us to be able to apply it to our lives now and in the future as we come to Scripture. How is your heart? Does it need a wake-up call? Now, the people in the crowds following Jesus, they represented all different categories of heart conditions, and some needed to be awakened. As we talked about last week in Matthew 13, the last couple weeks, actually, I kind of gave you a brief prelude to what's going on. The crowds were following Jesus, always expecting something extraordinary. See, there was something thrilling about this new kingdom Jesus was teaching. Some thought it was going to be the overthrow of Rome by God himself, or maybe the beginning of the rise of the Jewish nation, as Jesus showed compassion to sinners. The people, the crowds that followed him, learned that God valued them, that they were not worthless, as the teachers and the Pharisees claimed. Jesus taught with authority, unlike those other teachers and scribes of the law. He taught this new kingdom way of living, and he promised rewards. It was almost, for the people following him, like lining up for a thrill ride at an amusement park. And Jesus, like the line at the amusement park, had a sign up. He wanted his disciples to realize something that we need to look at today. If you've ever gone to a theme park in this crazy thrill ride, like dropping you from 50 feet or the roller coasters or any kind of ride like that, they always have a sign and there's a warning. You should not ride this. You should not ride this if you have a heart condition. Do you think that means a good heart condition? No, of course not. It means you should not be riding this if you have a poor heart. If you have a poor heart, the kingdom of God might be a little too much for you to handle. And he thought that his disciples should realize this as well. This teaching that Jesus is giving, this good news is thrilling, but Jesus wants us to consider our heart condition. And as he went about, before he gave this parable, these people were following him. They saw the miracles that he worked, these thrilling miracles. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out demons. He had control over nature. He calmed storms. And the crowds followed him. They found him. This day, they found him sitting by a lake. And they gathered all around him, waiting for this thrilling experience that they would have, waiting something marvelous that Jesus would expound to them about this kingdom of God. And Jesus says in Luke and in Matthew and Mark, he gives them this parable. He said something like this: "There was a painter who went out to stain the lattice of under a front porch. He got out his deck stain sprayer. He filled it with shiny, green, solid colored stain. And he just went to town on that lattice. That stain went everywhere. It got over everything. Some got on the deck chairs and the foundation, which of course had to be immediately wiped off by the homeowners. Some got on the landscaping gravel, which looked pretty cool at first until it got mixed with dirt and got all stirred around. The weather eventually took care of all that stain. Some got on the plants, and because it was a nice shiny green, it made them look pretty lush. But it stunted their growth, and the other plants eventually overtook those that were stained. But by the grace of God, some of that stain from that sprayer actually got on the lattice too. And it was the most beautiful lattice that you've ever seen. And it was protected. It was protected from the elements for all eternity. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. That was the parable. That was the style of parable Jesus would tell, in this case, to the crowds that gathered around him. And as we study the parables, we need to remember it can be easy for our eyes to glaze over, knowing that we've heard these parables before. And we know exactly what it all means. We've heard the explanation from Jesus. We've heard the lessons in Bible class and sermons before. And maybe even this parable, as I disguised it, you already know what parable it is, even disguised. But try to imagine how these parables were first heard by the crowds. Put yourself in their place. Ask yourself, would you have understood what Jesus was talking about? Why is Jesus telling the story of a painter? This Jesus who is working great miracles and doing all kinds of wonders and teaching this marvelous new kingdom. Why is he teaching? Why is he telling this common, everyday story? Remember that we learned last week, through these stories, Jesus is intentionally concealing the secrets of the kingdom of heaven within these parables. He wanted to conceal them from those with hard hearts, and only his disciples, those who followed him, those who would ask and seek and knock, only those who would seek first the kingdom of God could understand what the parables were revealing. Only they could understand the secrets to the kingdom of heaven, because when they didn't understand, they sought Christ. This first parable, the parable that we're going to talk about today, is a parable of the sower. That's what it's called in our Bibles. It will reveal a secret for us. So let's hear this first parable. It's in Luke 8. We're going to read the version in Luke 8. Luke 8, verses 4 through 15. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from the town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path, and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and when the thorns grew up with it, it choked it out. And some fell into good soil, and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." If you didn't already catch it, this is the same parable that I told in the version of the painter. But now, after hearing this parable of the sower, you probably remember the explanation. Before we get to it, remember this picture that he's painting. The sower is going out into this field to sow the seeds. And he's just throwing it out everywhere. Some of it's landing on the path, where it's probably pretty certain that those seeds are not going to grow because they can't get into the dirt. Some of the seeds are going, though, into rocky soil. And this is not just rocks. This is a soil that is so thin. It's just a thinly covered rock. So the sower might not even know that there's rock underneath. And he sows it, and thorns grow up in some places. Now, those thorns might not be there when he sows it. They grow up around it. So it looks like good soil. The sower is sowing this seed everywhere he goes. Let's read verse 9 through 15. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing, they may not understand. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. But then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they heard the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, in time of testing, fall away. And as for those that fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit never matures. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. Jesus explains the secret of the kingdom of God for us. First, he tells us that the seed that the sower is spreading out everywhere is the word of God. Then Jesus goes on to explain the four soils for us. The first soil is the path. The path is hard-hearted individuals. They hear the word of God. And Matthew adds that they do not understand what they are hearing, or they do not consider what they are hearing. Rather than seek to understand as his disciples do, these hard-hearted individuals allow the devil to come and take the word away. They hear, but they do not understand, and they do not believe, and they are not saved. The second soil is as shallow and rocky. This soil is individuals with unstable hearts. They take the path of least resistance. They hear the word of God. They take it in. They believe the word of God with joy. But when adversity strikes, when trials come in their life, when those trials crop up because they believe the word of God, they reject it. Being unable to carry their cross, they fall away. The third soil is thorny. The thorny soil is individuals with divided hearts. These believe the word of God when it's given to them, and it grows in their hearts, but they allow many other of life's endeavors to grow there also. They grow alongside this word of God that was planted in their hearts until the word is there, but no fruit is present. They know the word of God, but they do not practice it. And now the fourth soil is the good soil. The good soil is individuals with good hearts. My version says that their hearts are honest and good. The words both in Greek mean good, but with different connotations. Basically, it means it's describing a heart that is good both outwardly and inwardly. Outwardly good because of an inward goodness. These good hearts are obvious because of all the fruit that they bear. They not only know and receive the word of God, they apply it with patience. Unlike the unstable hearted, they endure. The good soil applies the word of God with an unswerving, enduring loyalty to that word of God. Now, when we usually read this, because we've heard it so often, we come to this and we read it to ourselves and we think to ourselves, well, here we are in the church building. We go to church every morning and we go on Wednesdays maybe with this explanation of the parable and understanding what the different soil types are. We start thinking to ourselves, we must be the good soil. Because here's the fruit. I'm here at church, right? How's your heart? How's my heart? We answer, it's good. It's good, and we go along. We go along to the next parable. But I want to challenge that thought that might be in our heads, that thought that is sometimes even in my own head. I just accept that I must be the good soil. This parable is given to us in three of our Gospels, and Mark includes an interesting comment. In chapter 4, verse 13, he says, Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand any of the parables?" He's reminding us that Jesus is not only speaking about four types of people, but four ways our hearts can respond to the Word of God. Jesus tells his disciples that if you do not understand this parable, you won't be able to understand any of the other ones. This parable acts as a key for us to be able to apply the kingdom of God to our lives so that we can understand and apply these other parables. If we understand this one, we may be able to understand the others. This one asks us to consider our hearts and how the Word of God applies to us. And then every other parable we should approach with this same open and willing heart, wide awake to the implications of their meanings. When we look at the disciples, we see that they do not understand. They have to ask Jesus. They are already, when they do not understand, they are in danger of being that first hard soil. But rather than linger there, what we see the disciples do is come to Christ. They seek Christ for answers, and now they will learn through this parable that they must always seek Christ in order to understand or to be at risk of losing that word that's already been given. If we linger in our not understanding, the word can be snatched away from us so quickly. Even when it seems so simple to us, these disciples, we understand this parable, and we come to other parables with some understanding, and we see the disciples after teaching and teaching an example by Christ, and we see them falling away again and again, and we say to ourselves, why don't they get it? Why don't they understand? And these disciples seem unfazed by our head shaking. We say, why don't you get it? The disciples understand something important that we need to apply to our own lives. They realize that if they fail to seek Christ, if they fail to follow after Christ, when they fail to understand something, they're at risk of having hard hearts. They're at risk. Their salvation is at risk. And we see the hearts of the disciples fluctuate early on in the Gospels, throughout the Gospels actually, between all four of these different soil types. On two separate occasions in Mark, Jesus reprimands them. He asks them about their hard hearts because they fail to understand what's going on. They're acting like, they're behaving like this first soil on the path. Later in the Gospels, towards the end, we see Peter denying Christ and cursing him. He's acting like this unstable, unfruitful, stony ground. He's committed until the trial comes. We see Judas fall to temptation. Judas, the follower of Christ, who by his own action, by his following Christ, showed that he was committed to him. He understood. He came and he sought out Christ. But what else did he do? He did not let go of that money, his desire for wealth. And he ends up giving up. He ends up showing what the soil with thorns in it is like. He gives over to the cares of the world for 20 pieces of silver. He gives up Christ. Like the disciples, we must seek to understand the parables. We must keep in mind that as we study these parables for understanding, we're expected to not only understand them and read this explanation and understand how it works, but we're also expected to apply it. We're expected to produce fruit that would show our understanding of this parable. We must be willing to apply it to our lives. The same is true about any thing we hear from the Word of God. We need to be able to apply it to our lives. This parable is a test of our heart condition. So let's think about these soils once more as they pertain to our own hearts. Now this first soil, it's a hard heart that does not understand. Could this happen to a Christian? Unfortunately, I think it can. I think it can. I think you can be sitting here today and have a hard heart and be the soil in the path. Our hearts can grow hard until a Christian falls asleep. As Paul mentioned in Romans, we need to be wide awake. But these Christians fall asleep. They have hard hearts. And though they hear the Word of God, they do not consider it. They will not fully understand it, so they will not be capable of applying it. Now, when I was thinking about myself, I thought about, have you ever had a listen to a sermon or a lesson or had a really cool thought that you wanted to go home and apply to your life? A message that maybe pricked your heart. Imagine you're sitting in a lesson and you hear this lesson you really want to follow up on, or maybe even you disagree with, but you want to follow up on this lesson. But instead of considering it, instead of taking the time, immediately after hearing this lesson on lust, you go right home and jump on the internet and search for pornography. Or maybe right after hearing a lesson on gossip, you go out to lunch and you start sharing all the juicy details of that other sister's affair. Jesus warns that you may lose what little you understand, what little you already have, if you have this kind of hard heart. Now, what about this second soil, this rocky, shallow-hearted soil? Do you hear the Word of God and make a commitment to it, and you decide to apply the Word of God about being a light, maybe? Maybe you're going to be a light to your coworkers and friends, and you go to work, and you're committed to this. And you go, and you start acting. You start showing this fruit in your life. You start acting like Christ until your coworkers and friends start teasing you, calling you goody two-shoes, Mr. Walks on Water. And then you decide maybe to take it easy for a while and cool it with the whole God thing. So there's no fruitfulness in your life. What about the third soil, the divided heart? Did you hear the Word of God? Have you ever heard the Word of God? You understand it and you commit it. You commit yourself to it. But you commit yourself to it in the same way you commit yourself to everyone else. God, family, friends, work, sports, hobbies. The Word of God says commit yourself wholly to God. You may be able to apply parts of the Word of God to your life, even when it interferes with these other things. But if you're this soil, you're never willing to let go of these other things until the Word of God becomes just another mark on your checklist. Go to church Sunday morning, check. Now the rest of the week fills up with your other priorities. Read the Bible every day, check. Did you take time to understand what you were reading? Do you take all of the Word that you hear? Eventually you'll find that those other priorities choke out the Word of God. Or are you the fourth soil? Those hearts that hear the Word of God and seek it out. They seek to hold fast to it. Hold it fast is what my version says. And the Greek means that this person that is seeking out the Word seeks to keep the Word from escaping their hearts. It's not just allowing the Word in and understanding it. This seems to imply that there's got to be an effort on our part to keep it from escaping us, which means we need more. We need to be in the Word more than just on our Sunday mornings or Wednesday evenings in order to keep that Word from escaping our hearts. Is your Word, is your life fully moldable to this Word of God? Can the seeds that are the Word of God survive in your heart? Or will you force them out? Will you allow them to escape? Or will they bear fruit? This application of the kingdom life is a common explanation up until this last part where Jesus says it will bear 100-fold. It's a common enough story in Jesus' day until you get to that part. It's like a staying on a lattice lasting for all eternity. In Jesus' day, before they had all the farming equipment and know-how that they do now, the highest yield you could expect was maybe 8-fold. And Jesus here is speaking of something impossible. 8-fold. God's Word in your life can yield thrilling results. 100 times more with a good heart. How's your heart? What's the condition of your heart? Are you holding fast to God's Word? If you are, it should yield that kind of fruitfulness. 30, 60, and 100-fold. Do you want to be fruitful? How is your heart? As we study the parables, in the future, we must continue to ask ourselves, are we retaining this word? If we seek to understand it but don't apply it, it doesn't mean anything. Are we retaining it? The secret of the kingdom of God, are we applying it to our lives? Is the kingdom of God seen in you, in your life? Are you fruitful? If not, we must wake up. We must wake up. What type of soil are you when it comes to the word of God? What about in your benevolence, in your encouragement, in your evangelism? This week, consider what type of soil you are. What type of soil is your heart? What type of soil are you in danger of becoming? This morning, if you are any other than the good soil, you need to repent. Christ shed his blood for every man. That good news goes everywhere. To the hard hearts who refuse, to the shallow hearts who give up, and to those divided hearts who give over, and to the good hearts that produce fruit. Only those who allow that blood shed on the cross to enter their hearts. Only those who live for Christ because Christ is in them. Only those with good soil hearts that produce fruit will be saved. That's according to Matthew 21:43. The kingdom is for those who produce fruit. Now, if you've been allowing the good news of Christ to settle on your ears without allowing it to soak into your heart, if you've been living this life where you come to church but you don't allow the word of God to make a change in you, then I encourage you to come forward. If you accept the word of God, but every time you face struggle, trial, temptation, you find yourself falling, I encourage you to come forward for prayers of strength. Look to your brothers, look to God for strength. If you find that you have so many number one priorities, think about this. Jesus says they will choke out the word of God. You're just as much as dangerous as to falling as the first soil. Don't continue to wait. If you have never committed yourself to God, if you've heard the good news, if you know that God has died for you, and you want to be a part of this thrilling kingdom, you want to ride this roller coaster ride with all its rewards and all of the blessings that Jesus promises, and you haven't made that decision, I beg you to allow this word of God to change your life. Repent of your sins. Die to that man of sin. Come and be buried in the waters of baptisms and wash those sins away. If you have any spiritual need this morning, I pray that you come forward now as we stand and sing.
Thank you. Before we take up our offering this morning, let's go to God with another word of prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, first of all, for this day that you blessed us with. And we want to thank you for everyone's safety for arriving here this morning. We also want to thank you for the many things and many different ways that you have blessed us with health and physical blessings, and also our material blessings and wealth that you will so richly grace us with. And at this time, as we choose to give back a part of that which you have blessed us with, we just want to ask that, first of all, what is given be given freely and with a glad heart. And we also want to ask that what is taken up today would be used wisely by the men of this congregation to further your kingdom here on earth, Heavenly Father. And we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I do, so I'd like to make a very brief announcement. Many of you are asking, where's Kathy today? Well, I want to tell you, so you know, she is camping in the jungles of Dominica. Yeah, it's a grand adventure of her life, and believe it or not, this is the first time she's been out of the country. So, thank you for your prayers. Will you pray with me, please? Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the lesson that we were given today. Lord, for a reminder.